you find yourself in some area that you're totally unfamiliar with. And you've just discovered that you've been going in the wrong direction. It's frustrating to realize you made a wrong turn and wasted time and now have to try to backtrack and find the right road. But if you refuse to admit your mistake and change direction, it's only going to make things worse. Through the prophet Joel, we find one of the strongest messages of repentance in the Old Testament. Israel had wandered far from God, and because of their sins, they were about to be judged in various ways. Matter of fact, the judgment had already begun. But God said if the people would repent, He would deliver them from that judgment and restore everything. We find people today in the same situation. Our nation has wandered far from God. And although we deserve punishment if we return to Christ, He has said He will restore and forgive. So let's look at the message of Joel this morning. Joel 1, starting in verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Joel, son of Pethuel. Hear this, you elders. Listen to all who live in the land. Has anything like this ever happened in your days or in the days of your ancestors? Tell it to your children and let your children tell it to their children and their children to the next generation. Joel starts out by saying, look at what's going on around you. Nothing like this has ever happened before. Oh, it's been bad before, but nothing like this. And so he says, remember this and tell it to your children so that they can tell their children, so that they can warn their children. Pass this on. And then he says in verse 4, what the locust swarm, the word swarm there literally means chewing, what the chewing locusts have left, the great, the word means flying, locusts have eaten, what the great locusts have left, the young hopping locusts have eaten, what the young locusts have left, the word other there is the word consuming, locusts have eaten. Apparently, there was a swarm of locusts that came into the land of Israel. And they were eating everything. Now, just a little background here. An invasion of locusts has come, devastated the land. Joel declares it came as punishment for abandoning God and following the pagan gods of the nations around them. It was so bad that it was something they were to tell future generations in hope they'd learn from it. Now, here's a little background on locusts. Everything you never wanted to know. Locusts come in swarms that frequently number 120 million or more. There are male and female locusts. The female, called chewing locusts, will eat the tender green plants, and then each will lay up to 100 eggs each. The males, which are called flying locusts, will eat the remaining parts of the plants. After a few weeks, the eggs will hatch and the larvae emerge to eat whatever green plants have started to grow again. These larvae move by jumping. They're called hopping locusts. As they mature, they begin to walk, develop wings, and eat any available plants. They're called consuming locusts. So what Joel is doing is going through the life cycle of locusts. He says, this is what's going to happen. First, the females are going to come and eat part of the plants and lay eggs. The males are going to eat the rest. Then the eggs are going to hatch, and anything starts to grow is going to be eaten by the larva. And as they grow up, they're going to just devastate everything. Says, remember this. This is judgment from God. And he says in verse 5, wake up, you drunkards, and weep. Wail, all you drinkers of wine. Wail because the new wine, for it has been snatched from your lips. You see, Joel was prophesying to the Israelite nation. He compares them to drunkards in their spiritual stupor and tells them to weep and mourn because of the judgment and punishment of God. The things that they'd gotten used to have been taken away. You see, they always had plenty of food. They always had plenty to drink. And now he says, all that's going to be taken away. Sort of like our situation today. Because our nation is abandoning God, we're about to lose those blessings that we've become used to. And then he says in verse 6, a nation has invaded my land, a mighty army without number. It has the teeth of a lion, the fangs of a lioness. It has laid waste my vines and ruined my fig trees and stripped off their bark and thrown it away, leaving their branches white. Now he says, not only are there locust problems, but you also have problems from invaders from other countries. They're going to overrun the land. They're going to do the same thing that the locusts did. They're going to destroy the land, destroying all the resources. What do we see happening today in our nation? The same thing. Army of invaders from all nations pouring across our borders and devouring our resources, taking everything, leaving destruction behind. Things really haven't changed. When a nation abandons God, God allows things to happen. So what should they do? Well, verse 8, mourn like a virgin in sackcloth, grieving for the betrothed of her youth. Grain offerings and drink offerings are cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests are in mourning, those who minister before the Lord. The fields are ruined, the ground is dried up, the grain is destroyed, new wine is dried up, the olive oil fails. Despair, you farmers, wail, you vine growers, weep for the wheat and barley because the harvest of the field is destroyed. The vine is dried up, the fig tree is withered, the pomegranate, the palm, the apple tree, all the trees of the field are dried up. Surely the people's joy is withered away. You see, the land had become so devastated by the twin plagues of locusts and invaders that there was no wine or grain to even offer as offerings to God. That was symbolic of how bare their relationship with God had come. The food source was gone. Their income was destroyed, and the people needed to know that it was because they abandoned God. So Joel says, these things that are happening, remember it, tell your children so they don't have to experience it too. It's punishment from God for abandoning Him. And notice the first ones to suffer, who were they? The farmers. The food supply was affected. What do we see happening today? Compared to the shortages and predicted shortages of food supply today, we're told by those in charge to eat bugs, to not use fertilizers, to completely change the way we live in order to meet some global power grab by the elites. But the main cause of all these things, the main cause of all the problems, is the fact that we as a nation have left God and His Word in favor of society wokeness and human ideas. We worship the created things rather than the Creator. You see, we need to learn from what God has put in His Word. He put these things in there for us to know what's coming, what's going to happen, and what we need to do. Verse 13, put on sackcloth, you priests, and mourn. Wail, you who minister before the altar. Come, spend the night in sackcloth, you minister before my God, for the grain offerings and drink offerings are withheld from the house of your God. You see, God sends a call to the religious leaders first. They hadn't done their job in teaching the people God's ways and requirements. They'd neglected to point out the truth, and now the consequences had come. People don't want to listen to the Word of God. They don't want to hear what God has to say. They don't want to hear what the Bible has to say. And there's consequences for that. And Joel says it's going to require more than just being sorry. It's going to require sackcloth and ashes. True outward signs of repentance. What do we see happening today? What types of things are being preached in the pulpits of our nation? Social justice, equity, environmental issues, inclusiveness, how we need to modernize the worship and psychology rather than what God's Word says. You see, we have abandoned God's Word. People don't want to study the Bible. If there's any Bible verse in the Scriptures, they might have one, and then they go off and talk about everything else. But there's no mention of God's Word. And that's what we need. God says, wake up. He says, like you're asleep. And because of that, we need to understand this is not what is important. He says, put on sackcloth. Well, sackcloth showed humility. Repentance. It was a recognition of the wrong and desire to atone by changing one's ways. People might say, this isn't working, but they don't really feel a need to change. Nothing really changes. We hear on the news about somebody makes a mistake and it's pointed out that it's wrong, and what do? They double down on it. They don't change. They don't say, I'm going the wrong way, I need to repent, I need to go a different way. They just keep doing the same thing, more and more of it. God says you have to change. It requires repentance. But even in this state, God offers hope. Joel 2, verse 12, "Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart, not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. Who knows? He may turn and relent and leave behind a blessing, the grain offerings and drink offerings for the Lord your God." You see, what God wants us to do as a people, as individuals, as a nation, is repent. And it requires action. It requires fasting and weeping and mourning. Repentance is something that's noticeable. In the Old Testament, people would literally tear their clothes to show that they were in grief and repentance. God says, that's not enough. I don't want you just to tear your clothes. I want your repentance to be total. Repent not only with your body, but repent with your mind. Change the way that you're doing things. But Joel also gives the assurance that those who cry out to the Lord will find mercy and grace. If we return to Him, He will heal things. We can't let the struggles of this life get in the way and distract our attention from God. He will forgive if we in our nation repent. We're told in Acts 3:19, "Repent then and turn to God, so your sins might be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." You see, when sins are repented of, when we change our ways, things get better. God is back on our side then. Then God gives a picture of what He would do if they turn back to Him. He says, all of these things are happening to you because you've abandoned me, because you've forgotten me. But if you turn back, I'll make things better, and here's what it's going to be like. Verse 18, "Then the Lord was jealous for His land and took pity on His people. The Lord replied to them, I'm sending you grain, new wine and olive oil, enough to satisfy you fully. Never again will I make you an object of scorn to the nations." You see, the land and the people belong to God. If they would return to Him, God would restore what their sin had destroyed. God said, yeah, you got problems. Yeah, our nation's got problems, but God has the answer. And He can make things right again if we return to Him. He says in verse 20, "I will drive the northern horde far from you, pushing it into a parched and barren land. Its eastern ranks will drown in the Dead Sea, its western ranks in the Mediterranean Sea, and the stench will go up and smell will rise." Now the northern horde that he's talking about here is most likely be the Assyrians. They would come in from the north. They were attacking the northern kingdom. They also threatened the southern kingdom of Israel. And God says, I'll protect you if you repent and come back to me. I'll drive them away. Well, the northern kingdom didn't repent. And they went into captivity, into the Assyrian captivity. The southern kingdom repented somewhat, and God protected them. We face threats today from foreign nations, from Russia, from China, from other nations. God will protect those who repent and come back to Him. Who are we depending on for our protection? People or God? He says in verse 21, "Don't be afraid, land of Judah. Be glad and rejoice. Surely the Lord has done great things. Do not be afraid, you wild animals, for the pastures in the wilderness are becoming green. The trees are bearing their fruit. The fig tree and the vine yield their riches." You see, when God makes things better, when people repent and come back to Him, even the animals rejoice. Even the animals have plenty again. God will bless and heal the environment. You ever wonder why there's so many environmental disasters going on now? Why has this happened? Why has that happened? In the past, it was God's judgment on the people for sin. Is God no different today? He's still doing the same thing. But He says, if you repent, I'll make things right. And I'll heal the environment again. Verse 23, "Be glad, people of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for He has given you autumn rains because He's faithful. He sends you abundant showers because autumn and spring rains is before. The threshing floors will be filled with grain. The vats will overflow with new wine and oil. I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten, the great locust, the young locust, the other locust, the locust swarm, and my great army that I sent among you. You see, part of the Lord's punishment to them had been withholding rain. Not only did they have locusts, not only did they have invaders coming in, but it hadn't rained. And he says, if you repent, I'll send the rain back. And bountiful crops will return. God will give them back what they lost. The sin of a nation even affects the weather. It did then. Is it going to be any different now? We still have the same God. He still expects the same thing of us. He expects us to worship Him and follow Him and put our trust in Him. Says in verse 26, then you will have plenty to eat until you're full, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God, who has worked wonders for you. Never again will my people be shamed. Then you will know that I am in Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. Never again will my people be shamed. You see, best of all, when people repent and return to God, He's going to bring them back spiritually. Material things don't really mean much if God's not recognized as the one who gives them. Repentance brings spiritual revival as well as physical blessings. What does our nation do today? What's going on? Well, He still promises restoration to us today. When people repent and turn from sins, when they again seek the truth of God's Word, He can heal marriages. He can take care of the problems that we have. He can take care of even diseases if it's His will. Notice what 2 Chronicles 7 verse 13 tells us. When I shut up the heavens so there's no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer offered in this place. Notice the caveat. God says I can do all this, but what does He require? That the people who are called by His name, the Christians, will humble themselves and pray and seek His face, turn from their wicked ways. Then He said, I'll make things right again. You see, we've taken so much for granted, and we've forgotten that it's God who gives us these things, and we need to come back to Him. So what's going on in our nation? How do we know that we've forgotten God? What makes me say that? Well, look at what's happening. We've rejected the very gender that the Lord intended us to be. Boys don't want to be boys. Girls don't want to be girls. They want to be the opposite. We openly promote the killing of innocent babies and support those who advocate for it. Oh, one of the big things in the coming election is going to be abortion. Is it legal or not legal? Are we for it or against it? We've forgotten God. There's no question. We perverted God's institute of marriage and, in fact, celebrate and protect the perversion. Make laws so that anybody can get married. We perverted God's gender, family, and even who one is and reduced it to one's own desire. You can be whatever you want to be. Not only are there male and female, there's all kinds of genders now. And we even celebrate or designate certain months to celebrate the perversions. We have Gay Pride Month. We have celebration of this and celebration of that and parades and all kinds of things. We try to blame everything on climate change and use it as justification for any agenda we want to push. Our nation has forgotten God. We demand what we think are rights, regardless of clear condemnation of the Scriptures. I want my rights. I can do whatever I want. It doesn't matter what God says. Doesn't matter what His Word says. I got my rights. We want our rights. We want our rights, but we don't want to have anybody else to have any rights. We ignore the rights and property of others. And we refuse to hear the Word of the Lord calling us to repent. People just don't want to listen to what God has to say. Have we wandered away from God? Are we in the same situation that they were back in the days of Joel? Yes, we are. And as a result of our rejection of the Lord and following the gods of self and society, what do we see happening? The locusts are here. What happened when the locust swarm came? Well, first they ate a little bit. Then the next batch ate a little more. Then the next batch ate a little more. Then the next batch ate everything. What locusts do we see in our society? Well, we see the locust of crime. We see the locust of civil unrest, of disease, the specter of world war, the invasion of the land by others, disruptions in the food supply, shortages of ordinary things, environmental disasters. And then people, how much have you heard about mental health lately? Mental difficulties. All of a sudden, people are having all kinds of mental difficulties. And they seem to come one right after the other, just like the locusts. God is trying to get through to us. He's trying to tell us something. We need to wake up and understand what's going on and return to Him. What's the answer? Well, God hasn't changed the message. If we are to find forgiveness and healing for ourselves and our nation, there has to be repentance. And not just being sorry for what's happened, but a repentance that causes a change of mind and actions. It causes people to be different and return to God and follow His Word. Understand that He has the answers that we're looking for. That's all the answers that there is. God then says through Joel what He has in mind. He says, if you will do that, if you'll repent and come back, afterwards I will pour out My Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on My servants, both men and women, I will pour out My Spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness, the moon to blood before the coming and great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, just as the Lord had said, even among the survivors whom the Lord calls. You see, God says through Joel, if you will repent, I'll make things right and I'll be with you again. Notice what we find in the book of Acts. The message of God through Joel was given not only to people of his time, but also on Pentecost. Peter's preaching on Pentecost. He's preaching to the Jews, and he points out that this was part of God's plan. And if we read in Acts 2:14, Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd, fellow Jews, and all you who live in Jerusalem. Let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people were not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And then he goes on and quotes the exact verse that we just read. Said, this is what God said. If you repent, if you come back to Me, I'll make things right again. You see, it's always been God's plan. That's always the way our God works. And then he said, fellow Israelites, listen to this. Here's the answer you're looking for. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through Him. As you yourselves know, this man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put Him to death by nailing Him to the cross. But God raised Him from the dead, freeing Him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on Him. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. He could say the same thing to us. It's our sin, it's our wandering from God that caused Jesus to be crucified. He had to die to pay the debt for us. Verse 37, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. They realized He was right. And said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He said, God is willing to forgive, but you need to repent and obey Him. Repent and be baptized. Repent and have your sins washed away by the blood of Jesus. We're told in Romans 6, verse 3 and 4, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. You see, God has a plan. He hasn't changed the plan. It's the same plan He's always had. Come back to Him and I'll make things right. Come back to Me and I'll forgive your sins. Come back to Me because Jesus has paid the price for you. Galatians 3:27, all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Won't you come back and be part of God's family this morning as we stand together and sing our invitation song?